As brought in Kuntres al-Hadaf, the Marami Ruttenberg applies Reb Meir's logic to other areas of halacha as well. The Gemara in Tainus, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, states that one who continues to mention Mashiv HaRuach Amorid HaGashem even during the summer, i.e. between Pesach and Sukkot, he has to repeat Shema Nesrei, because that's not the Zman, it's not the time of rain. The Yerushalmi adds that for a period of 30 days following Pesach, if one is misupik as to whether he recited Mashiv HaRuach, he must repeat the Shema Nesrei. Since one is not yet accustomed to omitting Mashiv HaRuach, when in doubt, the assumption is he probably recited it, like he's been doing the whole winter. After 30 days, however, since he already recited the Shema Esrei 90 times, properly without Mashiv HaRuach, one can assume that he probably omitted it, and therefore he doesn't have to repeat the Shema Esrei. It's interesting that the Chai Adam offers an interesting Eitza to get around this. He says that the best way to deal with this suffix is on Pesach, when you begin saying Morid HaTal if you daven Svard, or you begin to omit Mashiv HaRuach and don't say anything if you daven Ashkenaz. He says you should simply say the words to yourself 90 times. So, for example, if you daven Nusach Svard, on Pesach, right as we begin to say Marid HaTal, you should simply say, Atogi Bar Lama Shem Echayim Esim Ata Rav Lo Shia Marid HaTal, and say that 90 times. Therefore, if you say it 90 times, it develops the same chazaka as if you would have said in Shemon Esrei 90 times. Therefore, for the next 30 days, if you have a suffix, whether you said Marid HaTal, you wouldn't have to go back, because it's as if it's the 30 days after you had already said it 90 times. The same thing would apply in the winter time. On Shmini Atzeres, after we say Tulas Geshem, if a person would only say to himself the words before Mashiv HaRuach HaMoed HaGashem and say Mashiv HaRuach HaMoed HaGashem 90 times, then he wouldn't have to repeat the Shemon Esrei if for the next 30 days he was besuffic whether he said Mashiv HaRuach or he didn't say Mashiv HaRuach. I recall a couple of years ago when I was home in St. Louis, Missouri, visiting my parents for Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, one of the shuls there, when they were dancing on Simchas Torah, one of the songs they sang were the words "Mechayim Mesiv Ata Rav Lo Yishia Mashiv HaRuach HaMoed HaGashem," and they sang this song 90 times, and therefore it's as if they said it 90 times, so to say. And therefore, if during that 30-day period, anyone in that shul who sang that song 90 times would be besuffic whether they said Mashiv HaRuach HaMoed HaGashem, they wouldn't have to go back, according to this Chayodam. Anyway, the Marami Ruttenberg mentions that Rameir's logic, mentioned here in our Gemara, could be applied to this halacha as well. He argues that if inserting the phrase Marid HaTal in place of Mashiv HaRuach 90 times over a 30-day period accustoms one to properly omitting Mashiv HaRuach by rote, as we just mentioned before from the Chai Adam, then surely doing so 90 times in one day should accomplish the same feat. Consequently, he asserts that if one recites the passes of Ata Gibor 90 times on the first day of Pesach, as we just said before, he can subsequently assume that he probably remembered to omit Mashiv HaRuach and does not have to repeat the Shemon Esrei if in doubt. This, by the way, this Marami Ruttenberg is brought in the tour at the end of Siman Kuf Yudalet. The Shalah, however, takes issue with this ruling. He notes that the halacha regarding Shor HaMu'ud follows Rabbi Yehuda's view, i.e. that an animal only becomes a mu'ud if it gores on three separate days. Consequently, he asks, how can the Maram apply Rameir's logic to the case of Mashiv HaRuach, since Rabbi Yehuda, whom the halacha follows, disagrees with Rameir's line of reasoning, i.e. he does not hold to the svar of Kirev Negichesev like Kol Shekein? The Magen Avram, in answer to this question, explains that in essence, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the basic logic of Rameir, that repeatedly doing something at close intervals has a greater impact in establishing a habit. It is only by Shor HaMu'ud that he disagrees, because he holds that an animal is goring three times on one day can be attributed to a temporary craze, and perhaps may not be an indication of its inherent wild nature. Therefore he holds, based on the Pasuk, that only by goring on three separate days do we establish it as a mu'ud. However, with regard to Mashiv HaRuach, where no such concept exists, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that repeating it many times on the same day will accustom one to automatically recite it properly, just as well, if not better, than repeating it over a period of many days. Therefore, when I was in St. Louis, and I davened in the Aguda there in St. Louis, and they sang the song 90 times, it therefore, according to this psak, would be allowed to do that. And therefore, if by saying it 90 times on the same day, either on the first day of Pesach or on Shmini Atzeres, that would constitute a chazaka that a person has already said it 90 times. And therefore, if for the next 30 days a person was besuffic whether they said it or not, they would not have to go back and say the Shmoneh Esrei again. Daf Chaf Dalad, the Gemara. If a woman saw Dam Ziva 3 days in a row, she becomes a Zava. But if she saw it 3 times in the same day, she is not a Zava. Masha'en Kain, a man who sees discharges, can become a Zav if he sees it 3 times even on the same day. The Gemara asks, what's a shor mu'ud? Rabbi Yaisi holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, by mu'ud, 3 days. And like Rabbi Meir, by tam. That the, what determines it if, is if the kids can play with it or not. Rabbi Shimon holds, like Rabbi Meir, for mu'ud. But for tam, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And we paskin like Rabbi Yaisi. Since we always paskin like Rabbi Yaisi, so Rabbi Yaisi nimukai imai. His thinking is deep, and therefore we always paskin like him. The rule is that an axe can only become a mu'ud if the edim testified before both the owner and before Bezdin. If three different sets of edim testified on three different gorings, each set is considered separate. So if one becomes pasul, the others remain good. Normally, if 20 edim are part of a group, and one becomes pasul, all are pasul. But if one pair were edim zaymimin, there is no din of kasher zaman, since all sets must become zaymimin to punish with kasher zaman. But if all three sets are found to be zaymimin, then all must pay kasher zaman. If Levi incited the dog of Reuven to bite Shimon, Levi is pater, since this is considered a grama. But what about the Baal HaKelev, Reuven? This is a machlekes. The next Mishnah. What do we mean when we say goring is chayev to pay nezek? If it gored, pushed, bit, laid, or kicked, then it's chayev to pay nezek. If this was done b'rishus harabim, the owner pays chatzi nezek, because these are cases of kavanosei lahazik, and therefore it's a tolda dekeren, and since it's a tam, it pays chatzi nezek. But if the damage was done b'rishus hanizik, Reb Tarfon says the damage we have to pay is nezek shalim. The Chachamim say it's still chatzi nezek, even b'rishus hanizik, since daya lavai min adin liyais kanadin. You can't use a kal v'chaymer to learn something which is a harsher punishment than the origin of the kal v'chaymer. And since we know that keren b'rishus harabim pays chatzi nezek, so you can't learn nezek shalim for b'rishus hanizik via this kal v'chaymer, since you can't make the limud stricter than the origin, i.e. keren b'rishus harabim. Daf chaf hei, the Gemara. Keri that comes from a clean person can only be metama someone else if he touches it, i.e. maga. But keri that comes from a zov can be metama if someone touches it, maga, or even if someone carries it, masa. And spit that comes from a zov can also be metame. The discharge, the spit, the shechvas zera, or the urine of a zov, or the blood of a nida, if you touch them or carry them, you become tame. They're metame b'maga u'b'masa. Even though a carpet sitting under the roof of a house that has a mace in it isn't part of the psukim that become tame, we still learn from a kal v'chaymer that it does become tame. We learn this from Zav, Ayel HaMace. Aye, but how can we learn a kal v'chaymer? Let's say, Daya Lavan Amin Adin Lias Kanadin. Our answer is, in certain cases, where by saying Daya, we would completely spoil a kal v'chaymer, then we wouldn't say Daya. Tuma by a mace lasts for 7 days. Tuma by a sheretz is only for 1 day. Therefore, anything learned from Tame Mace would also be Tame for 7 days. We know Shein v'regel are Potter b'rishus harabim. Why don't we say Chayev via kal v'chaymer? Just like Keren, which b'rishus hanizik pays chatzi nezik, but b'rishus harabim is Chayev, so too Shein v'regel, which pays nezik shalim b'rishus hanizik, surely should pay in b'rishus harabim. For answers, we have a special pasuk for a p'tur of Shein v'regel b'rishus harabim, u'bir b'stei acher, from Shmei Schof Beis, that tell us Shein v'regel are Potter b'rishus harabim. If an axe kills a person, his owner must also pay a penalty of kaifer. But if a person kills b'shaygig, he doesn't pay kaifer. Obviously, b'mezid he'd be putter, because of kamli b'dirabimine. He'd be put to death, therefore he'd be putter on this kaifer. But the question here is if it was done b'shaygig. This din of kaifer by animal damage is only if the animal is a mu'ud, not if it's a tam. According to Reb Tarfon, even a tam pays kaifer. And the halacha of kaifer not only applies to keren, but to regel as well. The Mishnah. Adam mu'ud li'aylam. A person is a mu'ud, however he does damages, and always pays nezek shalim, whether it's the first time he does damages or the second time he does damages. And he also pays nezek shalim whether it was b'mezid, b'shaygig, whether he was awake, or whether he was sleeping. The Gemara. The pasuk says petza tachas patza. That tells us that one is not only chayev for doing it b'mezid, but for b'shaygig or b'aynis as well. If something was stolen, and it was put in a man's pocket, and he didn't know about it, and it fell out and it did damage, for nezek, he's chayev. But the dalad dvarim, tzar, ripu shabbos and baishas, he's putter, since it's b'shaygig. And for shabbos, he would also be putter from carrying, since this isn't meleches machshavas. And for golos, he would also be putter, since he didn't even know the item was in his pocket. Rabbah says if someone threw a keli from a roof, but there were pillows on the ground, and before hitting the pillows, someone pulled away the pillows, the thrower is putter, since the kelim were never really destined to break, because the pillows would have saved them. If 10 people hit a person with 10 sticks and the person died, they're all putter, since there wasn't really one killer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says, "Masha'enkin, if they hit him, b'zach or zeh, and the last one who hit him is chayev, since he caused the actual death." Daf Chav Zayin. If a person fell off a roof and he fell on a woman, he's only chayev in dalad devarim, nezek, tzar, ripuy, and shevis. But he's not chayev for baishas, since baishas is putter, unless the person had kavana to embarrass the other one. Aye, but you should be putter on the other three as well, since it was b'shaygig. More answers, it was a ruach mitzuya, so he should have been more cautious. There was a very big wind blowing, and he should have been more careful, so he wouldn't fall off the roof and damage anyone. If Reuven pushed Shimon into a fire or water and held them there so they can't get out, and then the person died, so Reuven is chayev, since he killed Shimon. However, if Reuven pushed Shimon and Shimon could have gotten out, then Reuven is pater, since Shimon could have saved himself. If one puts a burning coal on an eved and it does damage, he's pater. But if he puts it on an animal, then he's chayev. This marks the end of this perek. Now let's begin perek Gimel, perek Hameniach, the Mishnah. If one places his pitcher, a kad or a chavis, in a rishus harabim to rest, and someone comes along, fell on it, and broke it, so this person is pater from damage, since it wasn't his fault. The pitcher was in the middle of the street. But if this guy who was walking falls on the pitcher and hurts himself, then the owner of the pitcher is chayev for damages. And the Gemara says, the term kad and chavis are used interchangeably in different Gemaras to describe pitchers and barrels. That when making unclear purchases, where we don't know whether someone meant a kad, which is small, or a chavis, which is large, we say ha-motzi mechaveru olav haraya, because ein holchin b'maman achar harayv. Many Rishayim here learn that the way to determine what the purchaser meant is to look at the prices of the items, and if there's a significant difference between the price of a kad and the price of a chavis, then we can infer what was meant by the lekeach. Murray asks, why should the Baal HaKad be chayev in the Mishnah to pay if one trips over something in a rishus harabim? The walker should have been more careful where he walks. Murray answers, Rav says that there were a lot of kadim in the rishus harabim, so the walker couldn't see this particular one. Shmuel says that it was dark. Rabbi Yechanan says the kad was in a keren zavis, a street corner. He tripped as he turned the corner, so the pedestrian couldn't see it. In general, we say that ein darkon shel bnei adam lehizbeinin bedrachim. It's not the normal way of people to look down at the street for every step that the person takes. Therefore, the pedestrian who trips is pater, and the Baal HaKad is chayev. Because for the pedestrian, it was an einus, but the Baal HaKad should have been more careful where he put it, therefore he's chayev for the damages. The exception to this rule is in front of an oil factory, where it's mutter to leave empty barrels. Then the Baal HaKad would be pater if someone trips on the barrels, because the person who tripped should have been more careful. He should have known when he walks in front of an oil factory that there would be barrels in front of him. If someone hits his friend with his ankle, he must pay 3 slaim for baishas, embarrassment. If you kick him with your feet, you must pay 5 slaim, because this is bigger embarrassment. Ben Bagbag says, if your friend has your property, don't sneak. If he has your property and you want to get it back, don't sneak into his house to get it back, because you'll be viewed as a ganif. Rather, tell him you want it. Taf Chav Ches. One axe jumped on a second axe to kill it, and the owner of the bottom axe pulled his axe away, and the upper one fell and died, so the Baal HaShar is pater. The public walked through a private man's field. The owner can stop people from doing this, especially if he provides a different side path to prevent people from ruining his field by walking through it. The Mishnah. If a person is carrying a pitcher of water in a Rishus HaRavim, and he dropped it, and it broke, and then someone fell on it and got hurt, the Baal HaKad is chayev for damages. Rabbi Yehuda says he's only chayev if there was kavana. Then the owner is chayev. Otherwise, if there was no kavana, the owner is pater. Gemara. According to the Chachamim, you're chayev, because the water is considered to be a boar, and a boar is chayev if it hurts someone. But for kalim that get damaged, you'll be pater, since boar is pater if it damages kalim. It's only chayev if it damages adam ubehem. According to Rav, only if water is ownerless does it have a din of boar. Also, if a person hurts himself on the ground, according to Rav, you're pater, but according to Shmuel, you're chayev. Rabbi Yishiyahu learns from the Pasuk in Shmais Chafalef, Benafal Shama Shara Chamar, we learn that Shar v'lai Adam, Chamar v'lai Kelim. Rabbi Yehuda says only if he had Kavana, damages must be paid. What is called Kavana? Rabbi says that one carrying the pitcher had Kavana to take the pitcher off his shoulder to rest. It fell and it broke. That's called Kavana. So if someone hurts themselves on it, then he's Chayef. But Rameir is Machmer and says even if it's still on his shoulder and it breaks, he's still Chayef. Aye, but it's an Einus, an Einus Rahman Apatri. As we learn from Nara HaMurasa, if it's not her fault, she's pater. Ula Nara Leisasa Dover, the Pasuk says. More answers, you're pater midine Adam, but you're chayev midine Shemayim, since the person should have picked up the broken pieces before someone hurts themselves on it. Daf Chav Tes. It's also machlekes between Rameir and Yehuda, if someone breaks a keli and then is mafgirit, if he's chayev or not. This is also a machlekes amareim between Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, there are two things which are considered eina b'shusay shel adam, but the Torah considers it as if he does own it anyway. Number one, bor b'shusay rabim, if it causes damage, and chametz b'erev pesach achar shei shais. It's not in your reshus, but if you keep it around, you're oivram bal yira bal yimatzei. It's interesting that this particular daf we learned on the Thursday before the Friday of Erev Pesach Shachal Liyais B'Shavas. If someone finds an open bore, fills it up, and then redigs it, the original digging is batel, and it becomes like it is in his reshus, so he'd be chaya for damages if someone falls in. If a person has thorns, he's only chaya for damages if they're sticking out into a reshus harabe, but if they're in your own reshus, you're putter, since it's your reshus, and you can have anything growing on your reshus. Daf Lamed, the Mishnah. If Reuven spills water into a reshus harabe, and Shimon was damaged, Reuven must pay. If Reuven hit his thorns or glass in a reshus harabe, or you use thorns as a fence bordering onto a Rishus HaRabim, then if it does damage, you also must pay. Gemara. Water in Rishus HaRabim is only chayav for damages if a person's kelim are damages. But if he himself is damaged, the Baal HaMayim is putter, since Karka Olam has Yikasa. It was the ground that hurt him, not the water. But there are differences between winter and summer. You can do more in winter with water from your house than you can in summer, since the streets are full of mud and snow anyways. Therefore, if you push them out into a Rishus HaRabim, it's less likely that you'll be chaya for damages, because the ground is messy anyway. If you do it during the summer, however, and someone gets damages, then you'd be chaya, because the streets are basically dry. So if then someone trips, then it's your fault. The original Hasidim used to hide their thorns, or throw them in the river, so as not to damage anyone with them. If one wants to become a Hasid, he should be very nizer not to damage, or to do any damage to his friend. The Mishnah. If Reuven put out his old straw into a Rishus HaRabim, and someone is damaged, he must pay. And whoever takes it first is kainet, kol ha-kaidim zocha. The Gemara. If Ner Chanukah does damage, you're pater, since it's a mitzvah to light Chanukah candles and display them by the Rishus HaRabim, because of Pirsumei Nisa. If a shtar is written with ribbis, written into the shtar, we give the malva eknas. Rameir says, not only can't he collect the ribbis, the interest, but he can't collect the karen, the principal, either. According to Chachamim, he can collect the ribbis. I should say he cannot collect the ribbis, but he can collect the principal. Daf Lamed Aleph, the next Mishnah. Two people who were walking in a Rishus HaRabim with pots, one behind the other, Reuven fell, and then Shimon fell over him, so Reuven must pay damages to Shimon. The Gemara. Stumbling, according to Rameir, is called a paishea. According to Chachamim, it's called an oinus. If Reuven falls, and then Shimon falls, due to Reuven, and then Levi falls, due to Shimon, so Reuven must pay Shimon, and Shimon must pay Levi. But if it's all Reuven's fault, Reuven must pay for the damages to both. However, Reuven is chayev for Shimon, whether his guf or his mammon damage. But when we say Shimon may be chayev to Levi, that's only if he himself caused the damage. But if his mammon caused the damage, he should be pater. The next Mishnah. Two people are walking towards each other in Rishus HaRabim, one carrying a barrel and one carrying a beam of wood. They collide, and the barrel breaks because of the beam. The beam owner is pater, since they both have Rishus to be walking in Rishus HaRabim. It's a public thoroughfare. But if the Baal HaKareh was walking in front of the owner of the barrel, if the barrel broke, then the Baal HaKareh is putter, since we assume that the Baal HaKad was tailgating. He was tailgating, he was right behind him, and he was in a rush, and he went into the beam. But Mashenkin, if the Baal HaKareh was just simply standing in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, and then the person behind him went into him, then the Baal HaKareh is chayef, since it's his fault. It's as if a person parks his car right in the middle of a major expressway, a major motorway, and someone goes banging into him. So the person who was standing in the middle of the highway would be chayev, because the person shouldn't have been standing there at all. He should have been moving. Daf Lamed Beis, the Gemara. If someone hurts his wife while having marital relations, do we say he's pater, since he has permission to have relations, or do we say he's chayev, since he must be more careful? Rava says chayev from a kal v'chomer, regarding that one is chayev for gullus. Two cows are in a Rishus HaRabim. One is walking and one is lying. If the walker kicks the one lying, he's putter, or the baal, the owner of it, is putter. If it's vice versa, if the liar does the kicking, then the baal, the owner of the cow, which is lying in Rishus HaRabim, is chayef. Mishnah. Two people were walking in a Rishus HaRabim. One was running, and one was walking, or both were running, and they collide. They're putter. Both of them are putter, since even if one suffered greater injury, both are putter, since they were both equally engaging in improper behavior, i.e. running in Rishus HaRabim at the same time. V'taisvus HaRash in Klal Kuf Aleph Sifkat and Vav brings a raya from this Mishnah that even though we say Adam Mu'ad Li'aylam, nonetheless, if both parties are doing any act that isn't proper, and one person gets hurt, the damager is putter. Furthermore, he adds, if two people consent to enter a contest where injuries are common, for example, a boxing match or a wrestling match, this is automatically considered as a mechila, as consent to waive any liability claims that may arise as a result of this contest. Mara, we paskin like Isi ben Yehuda that if you damage while running in a Rishus HaRabim, you're chayef, since it's not normal to run in a Rishus HaRabim. But if you do and create damage, you're chayef. But in our Mishnah that says Potter, this is referring to Erev Shabbos, Ben Hashmashes, when you are allowed to run, and if you damage, you're Potter. Why is running okay on Erev Shabbos? As Reb Chanina says, to greet the Shabbos Malka, i.e. the Mukhi Yosef explains, to prepare for Shabbos. Rabbi Anna used to put on his talus and say, Bayichala, Bayichala, come bride, when the Shabbos came in. In Kudrus al-Hadaf, they cite the Ramah, who asserts that this exemption applies only to one who is running specifically to prepare for Shabbos, but it does not grant outright permission for everyone to run recklessly on Erev Shabbos for other purposes as well. The Rambam, however, in Hilchos Chevel Umazik Perek Vav Halacha Tes, extends the exemption to one who causes damage while rushing to complete his weekday affairs before the onset of Shabbos. I can recall when learning in Eretz Yisrael, I was once for Shabbos in Bnei Brak, and about 2 or 3 minutes before Shkia, a car was racing very quickly down Rehov Rabbi Akiva, and another car was coming slowly down Rehov Herzl, and they crossed right into each other at that main intersection in Bnei Brak just before Shkia. While no one was hurt in that particular accident, I would assume that the nafka mina lahalacha on the damage payments in this Bnei Brak case could be tully in this machlekes. The Mordechai remarks that this exemption, which we mentioned before, cannot be applied with regard to other mitzvahs. For example, he says that one is liable if he recklessly collides with someone while running to the Beis Medrash to study. He explains that only running on Erev Shabbos before nightfall is acceptable, since one must complete all his preparations before Shabbos and has no time to spare. With regard to other mitzvahs, however, there is no excuse for such reckless behavior, since other mitzvahs do not have such time constraints. The Mishnah. If a person was chopping wood in Rishus HaRabim, and it went and damaged something Rishus HaYachid, a piece went flying, or vice versa, or he was chopping Rishus HaYachid and it damaged in a different Rishus HaYachid, then he's chayef. The Gemara. The Mishnah needs to enumerate that all three of these specific cases are chayef. Why? Because in case number one, where he was chopping in a Rishus HaYachid and it damaged in a Rishus HaRabim, of course, he should have been more careful because a lot of people are in a Rishus HaRabim. But if he damaged in a Rishus HaYachid, we would think he's pater. Kamash Malan, he's chayef. Case number two, if he was chopping in a Rishus HaRabim and it damaged in a Rishus HaYachid, in that case, he's chayev, since he chopped without the permission to do it in Rishus HaRabim. Mashenkin, if it was vice versa, he'd be pater. Kamash Malan, he's chayev. And lastly, if he was chopping in Rishus HaYachid and it damaged in Rishus HaYachid, we would also think pater, since he has the best of both worlds. Kamash Malan, he's still chayev. If Reuven goes into the shop of Shimon, the carpenter, without Rishus, and Shimon was chopping wood, and a piece flew and killed Reuven, Shimon is pater. If he had Rishus to go in, then in that case, Shimon would be chayev to pay 4 out of the 5 damages, Nezek, Tsar, Ripui, and Shevas. Since the Pshia, he should have been more careful, he's chayev on those. But he would not be mechuyev in Baishas, since there was no Kavana. Also, he'd be pater from Golos, since it's not like the case of Yar, like the case of Forest, since it's a Karev Lemezen. He should have been more careful. And Golos is only chayev in a case of pure Shagig. If a Shliach Bezdin is giving Malkus, and he added an extra lash, the whipper is chayev galus, since even though it's karav lemezid, therefore you would think he's pater, but here it was a case where he miscounted the number of lashes. The process of malchus is as follows. The highest, or the most chash of all the dayanim, read the psukim, which we read when we give malchus. The number two man counts the number of lashes, and the number three dayan says strike. Daf Lamed Gimel. Workers came to collect their paycheck from their employer. They entered the house of their boss to collect the money. And his ox, i.e. the owner of the house's ox, their employer, gored them, or his dog bit them, and they died. Some say the owner is pater from kaifer, since they came to collect at their own risk. Some say the owner is chayef, since the employees have the right to come and collect. The next Mishnah. Two oxen, which were tamin, damaged each other. If one damaged $150 worth, and the other damaged $100 worth, the difference, i.e. $50, is split into chatzi nezek, and one pays the other $25. If both are mu'adin, the difference paid is nezek shalem. If two men hurt each other, the difference paid is nezek shalem, because we say adam mu'ad li'aylam. Gemara. If an animal hurts a man, only nezek is paid, not the dala dvarim. Mashenkin, a man who hurts a man pays nezek plus the dala dvarim. Tsar ripui shevas and baishas. The Mishnah. Reuven's ox, which was worth 100 zuzim, gored Shimon's ox, worth 200 zuzim. So because of Chatzi Nezek, Shimon simply takes Reuven's axe, which is now worth 100 zuzim. Gemara. If someone sold a short tam who did damage, so the sale is not chal, since truthfully the owner doesn't own it anymore, as it's now meshubed to the nizik. Rava said if someone burns the shtar of his friend, he's pater, since he isn't burning an asset, but he's only burning something which is a shibud. Daflamadalar. An axe worth 200 zuzim gores an axe worth 200 zuzim, and damage of 50 zuzim was done. So the Baal HaShor must pay 25, chatzi nezik. Now the Shor HaNizik appreciated, up in value from 200 zuzim to 400 zuzim. The Mazik must still pay, because the Nizik can taina, if you wouldn't have damaged my axe, it would have been worth 800 zuzim. So the Mazik must pay at the value it was worth at the Shas HaHezik. If the Nizik went down in value, the Mazik must pay the value at the Shas HaMada Bidin, the Mishnah. An axe worth 200 got another axe worth 200, but the Nevela has no worth. So you sell the live shor, i.e. the mazik, and divide the proceeds in half. Half to the nizik, half to the mazik. Gemara. In general, when you're dealing with damages, we're always more machmer by a mu'ud than we are by a tam. The Mishnah. It's possible for a person to be chayev on what his axe damages, but putter on what he damages, and vice versa. Shor should be putter. If the axe embarrasses, baishis, then he's chayev, because it says ish ba'misai. But the shor is chayev. If the axe damages the man's parents, then he's pater, since there's already a chi of misa, komli b'derab mine. Also, if an axe lights a silo on Shabbos, then he's chayev. If he lights it, then he's pater, but he's chayev misa because of komli b'derab mine. The Gemara. On Shabbos, if malacha is done b'derach kilkel, then you're pater, since it's destructive. Except chayvel for wounds or fire, then you're chayev. Taflamet hey. There are cases of animals which do premeditated acts in order to cure themselves. For example, they break a barrel of beer, so the alcohol in the beer will heal a wound. The Mishnah. If the axe of Reuven was pursuing the axe of Shimon, and the axe of Shimon was damaged, and we don't know how, Shimon says, your axe, i.e. you, Reuven, your axe did it. Reuven says, no, your axe tripped on a stone and was damaged. The rule is, ha-motzi mechaveru olav haraya. In order for Shimon to take money from Reuven, Shimon must prove that Reuven's axe caused the actual damage. If by a short tam there was a small axe and a big one, and we're not sure which one gored, a third axe, because we don't know if one or two gored number three, once again we say Hamotzi Mechavero Olav Haraya. Gemara. Our Mishnah says Hamotzi Mechavero Olav Haraya, but Sumchas disagrees and says Maman Hamutal Besafek Chalken. Daflamet Vav. If both Mazikim belong to one man, both are Chayef, meaning to say the Shibud is Chal on each animal, and if one gets lost, the Nizik can collect from the one that's left, and the Mazik can't say, only the last one was meant for you. But Rabbi Akiva says, the Mazik can't say, sorry, your axe was last, and therefore I'm Pater. This marks the end of this parak, and on this point we will conclude our shir.